I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Keep your Bible open. And I'm going to go through something real quick that God touched my heart about. It's one of those things you've read it. Every one of us in here that's been saved for years have heard sermons preached on it, read it, taught. But for some reason, it's one of those things that never soaked into me. And the Spirit begin to deal with my heart on it. In 1 Kings chapter 2, from verse 1, really down over half of the chapter, almost two-thirds of the chapter, everything you read happened in one day. And it is the last day of the prophet Elijah's life. Now, when you get near the end of the chapter, they go out to search to see if Elijah disappeared and showed up somewhere else. But you trust me, when he got to where the Lord was taking him, he wasn't coming back. And they move forward a few days, about 3 days' time at the end of that. But in the beginning part of it, you're dealing with everything happening in 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When you get to verse 3, we read something really unusual. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha. Of course, Elisha was with Elijah. And said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head?" What's the next word? Today. And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." You know, that's a strange statement when you think about it. I know a lot of people that thought they were dying. I visited Roger, and Brian visited Roger a lot of days when Roger didn't think he'd live through the day, but he's still here. There's not very many people that know what day they're going to meet the Lord. But in this passage, Elisha knew it, and the sons of the prophets knew it. And I believe Elijah knew it. He knew that would be the day that he would see the Lord face to face. He knew that would be the day he would leave this world and find himself in the presence of God. Now, I don't know when my day will come. And there may be somebody here that you will know, but probably the majority, big majority of us, really don't know what day. Candy got a call today from one of her relatives, a distant cousin, that their son, he wasn't married, he works a construction job and was down in Mississippi, and they were working on the construction job. They called to tell her today, said while he was sitting there, they had one of the state police or state patrol that was there with their lights on for traffic, and an 18-wheeler, nobody knows why, never slowed down at all, came right through it, hit the cruiser, shoved the cruiser into the truck that he was in along with another gentleman and killed them, both of them in the truck instantly. 23 years old, and her family was on the way to Mississippi today to identify the body of their boy. I don't think they knew that day that they'd be making that trip. I think that's the farthest thing from their mind. They need a lot of prayer. They're great Christian people, but they need a lot of prayer, because I don't care how much you love the Lord, that'll sure try your faith when you go through that. But they didn't know. But here, they knew. Now watch this close. He knows I'm going home. But here's what struck me. He said, if this is my last day, there's four places I want to go before I die. That's what he said. Four places I'm going to go. Elisha, he told Elisha, if you want this double portion, you've got to be with me when I go up if you're going to receive it. So he starts on this journey, four places that he has to go. Look, if you will, in verse 1. He starts at Gilgal. Then when you get down to verse 2, he said, the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. So he goes from Gilgal to Bethel. Look, if you will, in verse 4, he says, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. So he goes from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. And then in verse 6, He says, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. Now, if you knew you had one day to live, why would you visit, if you were in that area, Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, and Jordan? Can I tell you why? There's four places that every one of us have to go to before we make it home. If you're going to make it home, you go to these four places. You better visit these four places before you go home. Well, what are they? Gilgal. Gilgal was the place that, you know, Gilgal is a strange word in your Bible. It is what we call a transliterated word. How many of you ever heard the word transliterated? You ever wonder the difference between being translated and transliterated? When you translate a word from one language to another, that means that in English, we have a word that means the same thing as that word in whatever language that it's in. The English word means exactly the same. But Gilgal didn't have an English word. We didn't have a word that meant the same thing as Gilgal. So what they do is they transliterate it. They put in place of the Hebrew letters, they put the English letters. So it's translated, really, it's a respelling of the same word. They're saying, we don't have a word like it, so we're going to respell it in our language, the best of our ability, for you to know what it is. So it is a transliterated word. Do you know Gilgal? Nobody really knows where it was at. There's five places that they believe it could have been, but no one knows absolutely where it was at. But every Hebrew knew what happened at Gilgal. See, 400 years they'd been a slave, and they're about to inherit the promise of God. And just before they inherit the promise of God, it's there at Gilgal that the Bible says in the book of Joshua that the reproach was rolled off of them. It's at Gilgal where all of their past is wiped away and God gives them deliverance. And can I say to you that you will never get home to be with the Lord until first you find deliverance. Freedom, freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. That meant that they were no longer slaves, but now they are free. So the first thing we have is Gilgal, where they finally said, I am finally free. That's all that I've ever known is bondage and slavery, but I'm not a slave anymore. If you have not had a genuine experience with the Lord where the reproach was rolled away and you can say, thank you, Lord, I'm finally free, you'll never make it home. But they leave there and go to Bethel. Well, where's Bethel? Well, Genesis 28 tells us about Bethel. Bethel was the place where Jacob, it starts as a vision, but it turns into a visitation. He sees a ladder that reaches all the way to heaven, and angels ascending and descending on this ladder. But then finally the Lord visits him. It goes from a vision to a visitation. The Lord got so close to him, he spoke to him. Directed him on what to do. And you remember what happened at that time? That was the place where that finally he got tired. He was on the run. He was trying to get away. He had been a supplanter. He had been a deceiver. He had been wicked, and his past was chasing him everywhere that he went. But finally, when God got his attention, he spoke to the Lord and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to worship you. I'm not going to wrestle with you. I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to deny myself of what I want, and I'm going to go your way. Can I tell you, before you go home, you not only need to find a place of deliverance, but you need to find a place of denial where you deny your selfish desires and say, I no longer want it my way, God. I want it your way. Yeah. Denial. Then you come to Jericho. This is where most people, they don't like to visit this place before they make it home. Well, what's Jericho? Well, we know from Joshua 6 what Jericho is. It was that city when they came into the promised land. It was the first city that they found victory and defeated the enemy at. But have you ever thought about what a battle plan God gave to him? He said, this is what you do. On the first day, you let the priests go through. They have the trumpets behind the Ark of the Covenant. When you go around the city, I want you to march around the city. Nobody shout, nobody say anything. And when you get completely around the city, as they blow the trumpets, that's it. Now, Lord, let me get this right. You want us to follow the Ark of the Covenant. You want the priest to blow the ram's horn, and that's it? Yeah. Day two. Lord, what do? You get up and you let them take the Ark of the Covenant and you let the priest go behind with the ram's horn. And when you go around, I want them to blow the ram's horn. And then I'll tell you what to do. You go around, that's it. Day three. Lord, what do you want us to do? I want you to get up and go around the city. And I want you to follow the ark. And when the ram's horn is blown by the priest, that's it. You're done for the day. They did day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day seven. He said, now today's different. On the seventh day, I want you to do that seven times. And then when the priests blow the ram's horn, the shofar, you'll hear a long blast. And when you hear that long blast, you shout. And when you shout, the walls will come down. Boy, we love that shouting and we love the walls coming down. But what we don't see in all of that is their diligence. People do pretty good with Christianity until they're saved for about 6 months. And then they start, it's the same thing every day. Read my Bible, pray, go to church. Read my Bible, pray, go to church. You know what most people do? They start saying there has to be something more to this. And what happens is they get along in life and they're no longer reading their Bible and they're no longer praying, and heaven knows they're not coming to church. Because people have a hard time, please hear me, people have a hard time sticking with it. We live in a generation of quitters today. Everybody, if this don't happen, I'm going to quit. If that don't happen, I'm going to quit. Hey, you look at me. There's some things I started with. I've preached now. I'm in my 43rd year, and thank God I'm still with it. Haven't changed my mind on it. I started with it. I know it might be like a job to others, and it might be like a routine to others, but it's part of my life, every day of my life, and I'm here to tell you, on the last day, I pray the Lord lets me do it seven times, because the truth of the matter is, the story never gets old. You never get over the fact that God saved you. You never get over the fact that God answers prayer. You never get over the fact that God delivers people. You never get over the fact that God can do anything. And when we get to that place where we say, I want this to be perseverance in my life, I'm going to stay with the stuff. I'm going to keep doing what I've always done. I'm not going to change. I'm going to keep doing what God said and press on. And press on and press on, and at the end of the journey, I'll shout on my way out. Diligence. People have a hard time with that. People come to church here. I love the church. We heard it tonight. Oh, this is a place you sense the Spirit. But it's funny, after they get here about 6 months or a year, it's funny, a lot of people that was here when this church started, they said they loved it more than anything. And you almost have to beat them out of their house to get them to church now. Come when I feel like it. Pray when I feel like it. Read my Bible when I feel like it. I appreciate both amens. I'm telling you, we have a hard time being diligent, being diligent, being diligent, being diligent, because we're in a time where everybody wants to change everything. I'm not opposed to change, but there's some things that you can't change. There's some things that God expects of me today, the same that He expected of me when I started this journey, but I haven't won the final victory yet, so I've got to stay with it. God doesn't tell me to change the message, because the message never changes. God says we're still to worship Him in spirit and in truth, because that never changes. There's some things that God hasn't changed His mind on, and we shouldn't change our mind on it either. Diligence. Then He went to Jordan. Jordan, that last that last place that he visited. We all know about Jordan. We know what happened. Waters parted for him. He was familiar with that. Elisha was familiar with it. He took the mantle, and that's exactly what happened. The waters parted. You read on two occasions, this occasion and another occasion, where waters were parted by God. The first occasion was when the children of Israel came to the sea. Now you've got to get this. The first time they came to the sea, Pharaoh's army behind them, the sea in front of them, mountains on the side of them. What are we going to do? Where are we going to turn? God said, stand still and see salvation of the Lord. You know what they had to do? Nothing. Stand still. God said, I'm doing it. He parted the water. They walked through on dry ground. The next morning, they see Pharaoh's army drowned in their miracle. The same thing that was a miracle for them was the thing that destroyed Pharaoh's army. But they did nothing. But you'll find out when they came to the Jordan and they had gone through that horrible journey of the wilderness, and it was time to make their crossing. When they got to the Jordan, this time God said, the first thing I want you to do, I want them that bear the ark, the priests that bear the ark, I want them to step out in Jordan. The first time they didn't do anything. The next time, to get to the other side and have the water parted, they had to take a giant step of faith. Do you really want to leave this world and go home without ever taking a step of faith for God? I mean, the greater our faith, the greater the blessings that God gives to us. When we do nothing by faith, we get no miraculous results. But when we bring our faith to God, God says, that's what I've longed for, that's what I need, that's what I'm looking for. A little bit of faith will perform the greatest of all miracles. Demonstrate your faith. The Lord family is with us tonight. I remember well the Sunday right in front of you there, Howard, on the altar. Sandy brought their checkbook. Now don't laugh at this. Their checkbook, their date book, everything they had in their ministry, and laid it on that altar. And that day, they declared, we're taking a giant step of faith. Now see, it wouldn't have been a big step of faith for a lot of people, because if you didn't have a job and suddenly you're going to say, I'm going to go full time, then that's not a big step of faith. But when you have a job of security, Darren being a pharmacist, to step out when you have kids at the age their kids were and the expenses that were there, and you have this secure job that you know you've got a good paycheck and you know you've got a good retirement, and then all of a sudden God says, leave all of that behind and trust me. And I know how the devil works. I've never talked to them about it, but I know undoubtedly. Darren, probably the devil told you, you'll starve to death. The devil probably told you, you'll not have your medical bills paid if something happens. The devil tells you, you'll not have enough money for this and enough money for that, and you'll never take care of the kids' schooling, and you'll never do all of these things. But look at him. He don't look like he's starving to me. Looks like the Lord's taking good care of him, because there's a step of faith. This building that you're in tonight, it was a giant step of faith for this church to step in to build this building. Now, I'm not saying we're better Christians than others, and I know there's a fine line between faith and stupidity, and you got to be careful not to cross over. But there's some things that make the difference. And the key to all of this, he said it over and over again, the Lord hath sent me. 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 When you step out into the place that you know God has sent you. Now, if you go without God sending you, that's a different story. But when God sends you and you take that step of faith, God says, I will take care of the rest. Easy to say. It's hard to do sometimes. I know the caliber of people that I'm preaching to tonight. I know, as far as I'm concerned, God's finest is right here tonight. I'm not saying that you're better than other people. I'm just saying you've got a desire level that's a step above. That's why you're here tonight. Some people can't be, but there's a whole lot of people that just don't want to be, and you do. And I appreciate that. But I also know people that dedicate themselves like you dedicate yourself. You are the first group that will always step out by faith. Some of you are faced with some challenges tonight. Some of you are unemployed. Some of you, your marriage is in trouble. Some of you, you have sickness that they can't seem to give you the answer. They know what it is. They don't know how to take care of it. Some of you have loved ones that the devil has convinced you they're going to die lost. There's some here tonight that need the Lord. You know how many times the devil would love for us to stop praying for them, but I want you to know, if you're lost without the Lord, I'm here to tell you we haven't stopped praying, have we, church? And we haven't stopped caring. And we're going to keep caring, and we're going to keep praying, and we're going to keep reaching. And we don't want to embarrass you, but we want to go home with you. And it starts by coming to Gilgal, getting a place of deliverance where God can deliver of your sins and do a work in your life. There's some places that if it was my last day on this earth, I'd want to visit again. I want to go back to the place where sin was rolled away. You may not be able to do it physically. Maybe the building's gone. The house is gone. The place you got saved may not be there anymore. But in your mind, you ought to be able to go back and say, oh, thank you, Lord. I can still visit it every day. And I know what happened when he rolled the reproach away. I'm about to have a fit tonight. Time when you finally said, I don't want my way, God. I want your way. A time in your life when you finally got to the place that you said, Lord, more than anything in this world, I want to be faithful and committed, and I don't want to quit when others stop. I want to keep going. I want to keep going. I started this thing to win. I started this thing to go all the way. I started this thing to be diligent. Some of you have got to take a great big step of faith tonight. Not even anything you need to tell me about. You just need to step out by faith and say, God, I'm going with you.